Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.
Mary had a little man.
The fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show.
Turn up your mind.
Thanks for sharing.
Yes, you're welcome.
All right, back in a moment with Randy Rhodes at 877-4-ALLEN. I'm Alan Cohn. We're talking to Randy Rhodes. RandyRhodes.com. That's RandiRhodes. RandyRhodes.com. Where you can get her information about her Kickstarter campaign.
Oh,
and you're a Bernie person, not a Hillary person.
I feel the burn.
And people probably are not surprised to hear that.
It could be a yeast infection, Alan. It could be over very soon, but I feel the burn now. I feel it. And I'll tell you.
You think he's got a chance?
I do. I think Nevada is going to be his. I think that's going to be
the
sneaky
little thing. Yeah, but then you got South Carolina.
Well, no, South Carolina is hers. I mean,
and then you got all the other states where she's doing very, very well.
We'll see.
And she has the superdelegates.
Listen, here's what I say. It's what I've always said. I am consistent. This is why I don't need notes, because if you don't lie, you don't have to wonder what you told this guy or that guy. I always said the same thing. You fall in love in the primaries. You fall in line in the general. So I'm in love now because it's primary season.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody gonna trash my man. And then once we have a nominee, whether it's Bernie or Hillary, then we fall in line. Because now, I mean, this is a beautiful election in this way. This is a threefer because people now realize that, you know, we always said, oh, we gotta vote for president because of the Supreme Court. People didn't really connect it.
That's what I've been saying forever.
It's true.
Yeah.
I know, we all said it.
Yeah.
But nobody really connected it. I think now they see it playing out in front of their faces and they understand the Senate matters. They understand the presidency matters. They understand the Supreme Court matters and that this election is a big one. You know, they're all important, but they're all important for different reasons. This is a threefer.
Let's go to Paul in Woodinville, Washington with Randy Rhodes. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, honey.
Ezekiel 1648.
Oh, hi.
Oh, you're a Randy person. Paul's been calling me for a long time. He's one of our best callers.
I have no idea who he is, so I just thought I'd make him feel good.
Such a tease, Randy.
Oh, yeah, Seattle. Okay. My friend died. It's so sad. My friend died. I just had to remember Alan Combs today because I was shocked. You know what's crazy is that appearance on Alan Combs. Remember, I wasn't working. I was nowhere and nobody. And Alan reached out to me. I can't even tell you over those 2 years that I wasn't on the air. Almost every month or so, I would hear from Alan. He would reach me. He's one of those Facebook dudes, okay? Alan loved Facebook, and his like emoji, his avatar was little blue sunglasses. And every once in a while, I would get Facebook Messenger, and I'd see the little blue sunglasses, and it was Alan Combs. I didn't even know that was a feature on the Facebook until Alan started using it. And he always checked in with me, and he always asked me, did I want to come on the show, whether I was working or not, whether I was, you know, doing something. He didn't care that I was parked on the side. He didn't know I was trying to bring the show back. And the second he found out that I was, I get a little messenger from Alan, the little blue sunglasses, and he says, please, please come on the show. I'll do it by phone. I can pre-record it, whatever you want to do. And the crazy thing is that February 16th is the day that I was on that show. I had started my Kickstarter a couple of days before that. And the only reason why I was in New York is because I had surgery. You know, I had, I don't talk about it much, but I had breast cancer. I got diagnosed on my birthday of all days, January 28th. And I put the Kickstarter up anyway because I thought, you know what? I'm going to build something and that's what's going to get me through it. I'm going to just focus on the future. And if I do that, the future will happen. And so I was in New York. I had the reason why I looked that way in that video, the reason why I'm wearing a giant flannel shirt is I was wrapped up in bandages. The day before I did that show, I had had surgery and I wanted to, you know, go on his show more than I wanted to, you know, do anything. And so I didn't take any pain meds and I went on his show and I just it cheered me up no end. I didn't tell him. I didn't tell anybody. Okay. The only people that knew you know, that I was dealing with something with my family members and Howard, you know, who is my family, obviously, and nobody else knew. I sat there and I didn't tell Alan. He just thought I gained weight. I didn't tell him. And the crazy thing is, he didn't tell me. He didn't tell me either. He never told me he was sick. And then this morning, I just heard it on the news, and actually Howard heard it, and I was in the bathroom, which is where I do my reading. And Howard came running down the stairs, and he was going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Because Howard knows him too. Because he's been a beautiful friend to me. He was an amazing person. And if I continue playing this clip, I will cry. But if I continue playing it, you'll hear one call after another going, Alan, I hate you, but I love Randy. I love Randy. And just that little appearance on the Alan Combs show made the Kickstarter actually start. It was amazing. I mean, at that point, we had raised a few dollars. After Alan Combs' show, all of a sudden, it looked like, hey, this could happen. This will be doable. We might reach our goal. And, you know, on Kickstarter, I don't know if you know this or not, but unless you reach your goal, you don't get any of your money. So you have to set a goal that they want you to be realistic. And if you set your goal at a, you know, and you make it, then, of course, they take 8%. But then they will actually give you your money. But it wasn't until I was on that show. And who the hell reached out to me? Like Stephanie and Alan. Those were the only two people of all my friends in broadcasting over a very long career. The only two people that reached out to me, no matter where I was, what I was doing, you know, working, not working, sitting in a chair, writing a book, not writing a book. They always, you know, how are you? Please come on the show. Please just, you know, reach out, come on the show. And then Howard comes down this morning and he's like, oh my God, oh my God. And I go, what? Because he was scaring me, you know, because nobody, you don't go, oh my God, right? And I hear him coming down the stairs and I'm like in the downstairs bathroom. And he said, Alan Combs just died. I was like, what? And so I got up and I went and I reached out to a mutual friend who is also a beautiful person who helped guide me. I needed to build a you know, business model. I needed to figure out the back end, the computer parts, all these things. And there was a friend that Alan had who's an amazing guy. His name's Robert. I won't say the last name, but Robert, I love you. Robert sat on the phone with me. I can't tell you how many hours helping me, you know, develop a business model and figure out what I would need to buy and where to get it and, you know, Cat 5, you know, and all those things. And so I reached out to him this morning and, you know, the two of us were just, first we were numb and then we got really angry because cancer is, it's taking everybody. It's taking everybody. And, you know, now in this age of repeal Obamacare, really, this is what you know, people, when they get diagnosed, they do whatever. You become an expert in everything having to do with that illness. You just become an expert, whether it's you, somebody you love, or God forbid, a child. That's when you become a serious expert. And you know what else you become an expert in? Healthcare. You become an expert in healthcare. What are your options? Where do you go? Who takes your insurance? Who doesn't take your insurance? Can I go? You know, I live in Florida, but I didn't want to do surgery here. I wanted to go to the best cancer place I could find, and that was Sloan Kettering in New York. That's why I was in New York. That's why I was sitting there with Alan, because I happened to be in New York to go to Sloan Kettering. I mean, these people that are talking about Obamacare, these protesters are so amazing. They are telling all their stories. And, you know, it's hard for some people to tell their story. It's still hard for me to talk about my story because my mother had cancer. My sister had cancer. Then me, you know, and it was like of all the things that happened, you know, me, at least I could control it. So I didn't feel like, you know, I was floundering around. I felt like I was in control because it was me. It wasn't happening to my sister. It wasn't happening to my mother, you know, and so that gave me some, you know, courage and strength that it was just happening to me. But I didn't really want to talk about it. You know, I don't talk about it. There are some things, you know, like Israel, I don't talk about. Israel and cancer, I try and avoid it like the plague. But it just, you know, I reached out to my friends today, and I mean, everyone has somebody also fighting, and these idiots are sitting there saying, you know, Paul Ryan, he actually said, if we repeal Obamacare, it will make you free? How Nazi is that? I swear to God, that's what he said in a tweet. He said, freedom is the ability to buy what you want to fit what you need. Obamacare is Washington telling you what to buy regardless of your needs. No, Obamacare is setting minimum coverage standards for all insurance carriers so you don't buy these mini-med plans that cover maybe $2,000 worth of your bills, and then when the real stuff hits the fan, you find out you're not covered for major surgery, you're not covered for anesthesia, you're not covered at a hospital that's out of your state. You're not, you know, you think you're covered, and then all of a sudden you find out it doesn't actually cover prescriptions, it doesn't actually cover hospitalization. It doesn't actually cover physical therapy after the surgery. Everybody discovers that after they get sick in the olden days before the ACA. And he's telling us, oh, well, you know, being a slave to the insurance carrier is freedom? Are you out of your freaking lunatic mind? And there are people in this country, I swear to God, that buy into the sickness. You know, let's not pretend that the ACA is like making everybody buy a car that has a sunroof or leather interior. ACA is making sure that a car dealer can't sell you a car without brakes. That they can't sell you a car that doesn't have a transmission in it. That's what it is. And before 2014, people with pre-existing conditions, they couldn't buy useful coverage because it wasn't sold to you. It wasn't sold to you. Either that, or they didn't sell anything to anybody that would cover, you know, a pre-existing condition. Or they had so many ifs, ands, or buts in the contract that if you had a pre-existing condition, even though you were paying $2,000 a month, if you could get it, it didn't cover, you know, HIV. It didn't cover, you know, diabetes. It didn't cover, you know, ongoing cancer treatments. It didn't cover clinical trials for drugs. It didn't cover certain prescriptions. I mean, and if they did sell it, they didn't advertise very much that they sold these coverages because they were afraid that if they advertised, if you have a pre-existing condition, Aetna wants you, they thought they would attract the sickest people, so they never advertised it. People couldn't even find it. And millions of people couldn't get coverage. They simply didn't have enough money to pay for the coverage that covered people with pre-existing conditions, if they could find it at all. It's like, he's telling me it's freedom. You know what this means? He's like saying, yeah, you're free to buy a yacht. Of course you're free to buy a yacht if you have the money. And that's what it was pre-ACA. You were free to buy, you know, a pre-existing condition coverage if you had the money and it was so expensive. Or you're free to buy a mansion if you have the money. You're free to buy, but, you know, now they're going to tell us, okay, this is really sick. Yesterday, I heard the president was not going, you know, he said he was going to introduce his health care plan, be fabulous, and everybody's going to have just the fantastic coverage. All of a sudden, the White House says yesterday they're not going to introduce their health care plan at all. And they're not going to introduce their tax plan at all. They're going to go by what Congress wants. So he lied about having this fabulous plan, just like we don't have a plan to kill ISIS. It's 34 days now. Still don't have a plan. I mean, the lies are endless about things big and small. It's endless. Oh, did you see the Washington Post change their masthead today? Yeah, it's like the New York Times, all the news that's fit to print, that's the masthead. They changed it. The Washington Post is now something like Freedom Dies in the Darkness. That's now the slogan of the newspaper. Freedom. When your newspapers of record are changing the masthead to let you know that there is a darkness that is coming upon the media and the press and journalism, as this is the first thing dictators go after. This is the first thing autocrats go after, is freedom of the press. It's just, wow, amazing. And everything he says is fake. Everything he says is false, down to the transgender issue. I mean, I don't mean to say down to, but it's amazing. I mean, here he is sitting on, you know, on the campaign trail. He's sitting there saying, oh, I'm keeping my promises to my people. That's why I'm doing mass deportations. Oh, wait, we'll talk about what he said today. He said it was going to be a military operation, just so you know. He said the mass deportations was going to be a military operation. That was crazy at this press conference today. But here he is campaigning. I mean, keeping your promises about mass deportation, but now he's keeping promises he didn't even freaking make.
North Carolina, what they're going through with all of the business that's leaving and all of the strife, and it's on both sides. You leave it the way it is. There have been very few complaints the way it is. People go, they use the bathroom that they feel.
So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses?
That is correct.
He was, remember, he was so pro-gay. He was, you know, the LGBTQ community, he kept saying. The LGBTQ community. I'm going to protect you guys. I love all of you. It's very important to me. Very important. Now, all of a sudden, he's saying, schools can't be barred from discriminating against transgender students. He's doing a-hole things that he didn't even mention on the campaign trail. And he mentioned a lot of a-hole things. You know, it's Jeff Sessions. You know that it's Jeff Sessions, the guardian of your civil rights now. It's Jeff Sessions who's really pushing for this. Shouldn't you, Mr. Sessions, be trying to bury all the evidence of collusion with Russia? Shouldn't that be taking up all your time? And why is Jefferson Beauregard Sessions so hot under the collar about transgender students when that man used to wear long flowing white robes and a hat? You can learn a lot from transgender people. We'll teach you how to wear a flowy thing and a hat tastefully. I mean, this is just an amazing administration, isn't it? It's just, it's so bizarre. It's just so bizarre. But I'm sorry I had to start the show that way, but my friend died and it's just, wow. I mean, I didn't expect it. He was only 66 years old, but one of the most beautiful, kindest, gentlest, smartest, funniest, most decent people in the world, let alone in broadcasting. Hard to come by in broadcasting, people like that. So, rest in peace, Alan. Rest in peace.
Clear for takeoff.
Randy Rhodes Air Force.
Air Force.
RandyRhodes.com.
Now that go to RandyRhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.